In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we want to begin reading with verse number 1. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I find it interesting that these people were baptized just like we are, but they're all baptized at once, in the cloud and in the sea. And you think about baptism, the word baptism means a burial. And so they were buried in water. There was the cloud above them, the water there, and the cloud of water, the water on each side. So they were buried in the water as they left and crossed the Red Sea. You know, when they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, there's so many things there about this that's like our baptism and salvation. When they were baptized in the cloud and the sea, they went up out of the water, and what did they do? They received the law. That's the first thing they did. They received the law, the Ten Commandments. In the same way, when we are baptized, we come up out of the water and we receive the faith. They received the law, the Ten Commandments. We received the faith, the law of Christ. And you see the similitude and the likeness of that, you see. And as they were in Egypt and sin and in bondage to sin, and they came out and were baptized in the sea, there they were freed from that past. They were freed from the slavery of sin. And now they that were not a people are now people, and they became a nation, the kingdom of Israel, and we become in the kingdom, the church. Church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. You see the likeness of what happens there. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And so there is. A lot of people say, well, there's no law today, but there is a law, the law of Christ. Turn over to Colossians 2:14-17. We're not under that old law. It was done away with and washed away with when we were baptized. We left that all behind. In Colossians chapter 2, we'll start reading verse 14. Blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Now what did Jesus blot out and nail to the cross? Nothing less than those Ten Commandments. Nothing less than the old law they received. But now it's blotted out. But when Jesus died upon the cross, and he said, having full principalities and power, and powers, he made a show of them openly, trying to know them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the seventh days, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So today no one is judged whether or not they keep the seventh day. All that was done away by Christ. And so when we are baptized into Christ, all that's washed away and gone behind. And now we have the law of Christ. In Galatians 6, it says to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in Galatians 2:16, it says, know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. I don't care what work it is, if it's of the law, you're not only justified. He says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not of works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, in Galatians, he was talking about there, and he says, if you justify yourself by the law, you fall from grace. But this faith that we receive when we're baptized, and we come up out of the water and we receive the faith must be obeyed. We don't call it the law. We don't call it law because we don't want to get the two confused. It's called the faith. And we are to obey the faith. In Acts 6:7 says, the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. They obeyed the faith. Just like today, you and I must obey the faith. They had to obey the law, we obey the faith. There are things we must do. Romans 16:26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. We must obey the faith. James says, devils believe and tremble. See, they didn't obey the faith. James says that faith without works is dead, being alone. We must do the works of the faith. Certainly, there's works we must do, and those be the works of the faith. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and start with verse 5. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You see, he's warning us. God was not pleased with them in the wilderness. They were all baptized in the cloud and the sea. As they come up in the congregation of the wilderness people there in that day, the kingdom of God. And he says, now, he was not pleased with them. We have to take this as an example and realize that Christ may not be pleased with us. And he goes through some things here. I want you to consider some things that caused him not to be pleased with them. You know, when we think about this, if they fell in the wilderness, so can we fall. This teaches us there that as they fell, so can we, and as we're not pleasing to God. And the question this morning is, are you pleasing God with your life? We need to be aware of that. And this tells us that once saved, always saved is not true. They were saved. Their life was saved from Egypt and all the things in Egypt. But they lost their life in the wilderness because they failed. We need to realize and be careful that we do not fall. In verse 7 he says, neither be ye idolaters, as for some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were idolaters. Why? They didn't consider God. They didn't thank God for what they had, and they worshiped a false god. Sometimes people do that today. They just eat and drink, they just run in their life, and they never think about God and never consider God in God's ways. And sometimes people worship God falsely today. Exodus 32, we'll read verses 1 through 7. As we consider what they did here, this is what he's talking about. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is a passage that is referring to in 1 Corinthians 10. It says in verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses who lay to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, up, make us God, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt had a golden calf that they worshiped. Here Aaron brought up this golden calf, tell them that brought them out, and this is who you worship. A false worship. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said to them, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. You see, it was idolatry. In the day when we sit down and eat and rise up to play and don't consider God's ways, the church that Christ built and His kingdom and what it's about, as it is, would be doing the same thing. Would be idolaters. So you see, they were worshiping God. They were burning sacrifices just like they were to God on it. They were doing it to the wrong God. And they had a golden calf they had made. We need to be aware of these things that we don't fall like they did there. Fall after something of that magnitude in that way. 1 Corinthians 10 and 8, he said, neither let us commit fornication. If some of them commit and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000. God hates fornication, you see. He killed 3 and 20,000 people in one day because of fornication. Now, while we're in Exodus 32, I want you to look at verse number 25. He says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. You see, all of those people were naked there, as they were having this thing before this God. A lot of the old false idols, people committed fornications before it. They had what we call as orgies before it. It's such a shameful, terrible things they did. And he tells us here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. Fornication will cost you your soul. He said in verses 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, no fornicator nor adulterer shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you won't enter in the kingdom of God, you cannot be committing these things. And what is fornication? It's sex outside of marriage. All illicit acts, sexual acts outside of the marriage. This is fornication. It's like idolatry when we worship other gods. And here we're committing fornication, a sin against our body, against the body, the church, against all, and against God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, he says, neither let us tempt Christ, but some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. What is he talking about, tempt Christ? How did they tempt God back then? Well, we want to turn back to where he was talking about the serpents. Turn with Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, he says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to the compassionate land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore has he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. And the Lord set five serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. This is what he's talking about. In our land today, they tell us that we could be facing hard times. It may come a time that we'll be lucky to have bread and water to eat, but we don't need to murmur and complain about to God or about God because we allow these things to happen. You know, murmuring and complaining, and you're tempting the Lord here. You're tempting them to do something. He sent in the serpents there to destroy them. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, he said, neither murmur ye, but some of them also murmured and were destroyed or destroyed her. So we must realize that murmuring, complaining, and griping is not pleasant to God. It's tempting Him to bring even more hardships upon us, perhaps. It could cause us to fall. As they were in the wilderness there, they had a physical kingdom, and when they fell, they lost that kingdom, they died. And that physical death, we compare it to our spiritual death today, we could possibly lose our soul by complaining, murmuring, and griping about God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he says, now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now we see why we want to study the Old Testament. We see why we want to look at those examples in the Old Testament and see how God dealt with those people on a physical sense, and we can see how He deals with us today on a spiritual sense. Because they're there as a model, as samples, showing us we too can fall. Showing us that we need to beware and be careful. And he continues on with the same thing, showing us that we need to be careful about our lives to secure our soul. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. We need to be aware we can fall. We can lose our soul by the things we're allowing in our life and the things that we're doing. Then he tells us, there had no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. We are not tempted any greater than they were there. The temptation is coming to us all. These things are here. Satan is about us all the time, seeking whom he may devour. He said, but there's no temptation taken in you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be accepted above that you're able. You see, God made it a way for them. They were able. They were not willing. They were able to pass through without falling. Joshua and Caleb did. There was a way they could go. Just wait on God and allow God to take care of them. He said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There was a way for them to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. And verse 14, he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. There's the way. Flee. When the temptations come your way and sin is knocking on the door, turn and run. Get away from it. go another way. Flee it. Flee from those things that can cause you to fall. He's given us warnings, and He's told us here is how to escape it. Flee those temptations. Run away. He said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, that's how we can escape. We can run away from it. Now in 1 Corinthians 10, we want to read verse 15 through 17. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, it is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we be many in one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We're all partakers of what? One bread. What's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about the communion. That is the communion. All Christians are to commune with Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual meal that we participate in. This bread and this fruit of the vine is not for the nourishment of your bodies. It's not the fleshly desires. It's a spiritual meal where you commune with Christ as you partake and you're thinking about Him. His salvation for your soul. His life He gave for your salvation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 22. Paul says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in, and despise you the church of God, saying then to have not? What shall I praise you? Say to you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. They were eating a physical meal. We understand today it's not a physical meal. When we have our physical meal, they are privately done. They are away from the assembly. When he said, what have you not have to eat and drink in? That doesn't mean that we got to eat and drink and have our meal in our home or a house. We can do it in a restaurant. We can do it out under a tree. We can do it anywhere, but not in the service of the Lord. Not in this service. That's what he's talking about. This communion that we have. When we come here, all fleshly things are supposed to be put aside. You quit thinking about what you had in the flesh and desire to do, and you think about the Lord and how you're living with Him, that relationship you have with Him. We continue reading verse 23. He says, for I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, and which He betrayed, took bread. And Paul said, I got this straight from Christ. I didn't get it from anybody else. And we need to realize this is God's will. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he prayed and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new test of my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And we want to say, everybody say, how often shall we do it? Because some do it yearly, some do it quarterly, some don't do it at all. But, you know, how often should we do it? How often did Paul do it? He did it every first day of the week. Acts 20 and 7, Paul was there. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And we understand by example they did it every first day of the week. And so we want to follow that whole example set forth by the apostles today. And so we do it today, every first day of the week. And when we come together and we participate in this, it is a cleansing of our souls. We're having our souls washed in the blood of Christ. This is one of the places in which we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And he tells us to examine ourselves. Examine yourself of your life and how you're walking with Christ. And then you protect. Look at John chapter 6. We want to read verse 53 through 56. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 18, he says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now think about that. Israel, when they was in that nation there, after the flesh, they ate of the altar. They brought their sacrifices, and they burned it, put it up on the altar, and that altar was burnt, and then they ate of it. And he says, they're partakers of the altar. That's where the sin removed. That's where they received remission of sins, and their sins were rolled forward, and they were not held guilty. You know, if you went out and you done something, they had a specific sacrifice you were to bring to the priest and make so that you could partake in that offering. So today, when we eat the communion, we're partaking of the altar where Jesus was crucified. We're partaking in the death of Christ. And we're partaking of that which was given to remove our sins, to take the place of our sins. John chapter 6, when we get reading verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, we won't talk about that in a minute, because there's a lot of confusion in this world about that. I had a long discussion with my dad the other day on the phone. He's trying to tell me that it was spiritual. It's all about the spirit. And he's trying to say the communion was flesh, was of the flesh. And when we partake of this, we're eating and drinking the death of Christ. And we're partaking in that sacrifice. And we're partaking of that altar where it was sacrificed for our sins. And that's what he's saying here. And if you don't do that, you can't do that with just imagination and emotion. You go through these things which Christ gave us. Now that Christ is nothing. The fruit of the vine is nothing. But it's a matter of doing what the Lord said do to remember Him. And when you do that, you're remembering Him and you're having a spiritual feast with the Lord. Now let's go on 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 19. It says, What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything. Now in those days, there were people that would believe in Christ who knew that they weren't going to worship an idol, but would sit down to eat food because they wanted the food. And that's what he's talking about. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And it would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be the table of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things do not edify. He's particularly talking about the eating of meat. When he says all things are lawful, all foods are lawful. Certainly not everything is lawful for you to do. You can't go commit fornication. You can't go out and commit adulteries. No, that's, he's talking about this deal about eating of the idols. These foods, any of it's lawful. But not all things are expedient. Not wise. Not all things edify. You don't want to do anything that's going to go out there that perhaps you could do, that's lawful for you to do. It may not be a sin for you to do it. But if it's going to offend your brethren, it's going to cause someone else to stumble and fall. You don't need to do it. That's what he's talking about. You know, and if it's going to offend those who think it's okay. You know, in this eating of the idol, let's talk about the believer and the non-believer. Here's a guy who's worshiping an idol. You go eat with him, and you eat as though you're eating unto the idol. Though you know you're not, you're just eating food. But he sees you as though you're worshiping his idol. And his conscience is offended. About the believer that's sitting there and he sees you go over and sit down and you're eating meat that is offered to an idol and you're eating to an idol, those believers' conscience is offended because they think you're worshiping an idol. Though your conscience might be clear in the matter,
but you don't want to offend the conscience of others around you. And so as he goes on talking about this, he says that no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. No man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. What is he talking about? Does that mean I'm supposed to be not seeking my wealth, but going out seeking after your wealth so I can take your money and whatever you got, your car, your boat, take the things that you have? No, that's not what he means. It's not what he's talking about at all. He's not talking about money or worldly wealth. He's talking about spiritual matters. You know, and I need to be concerned about the souls of other people.
I don't see their well-being, my well-being, but theirs. It's, our Lord kind of left us an example there about sacrificing yourself for others. And that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that we be gained, but he's talking about that we would sacrifice ourselves, that other people, that others could be edified, instructed, and saved. That's what he's talking about. And that's what Christ did. He sacrificed himself so that you and I could be saved. And we need to be mindful of that we would sacrifice ourselves and our lives and our gain so that others gain eternal life. That's what he's talking about there. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, 25 and 29. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that is asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we can eat any kind of meat, whatever it might be. But we don't want to offend others. He doesn't want us to think that it's okay to eat unto an idol. No. We don't want to teach others that it's okay to eat unto an idol. And he goes on and he says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. You know, as long as he gets inviting you to come eat. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice and vow, eat not, for his sake that chose it. You know, for the man that did believe. And for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience I say not, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And we'll start in verse 30. For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, all foods are acceptable, and as long as we give thanks and glory to God for it, we can eat it. We don't eat to sacrifice an idol. He said, give none offense, neither Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God. We don't want to offend anybody. And that's the kind of life we want to live. We do not want to offend anybody as much as possible that lies in us. Certainly sometimes some folks are offended by the truth about what you stand for and teach and what you do. Some folks are offended that we assemble today to have this communion service. Those things we can't help. But whether we can do it or not do it, then we can not do it so as not to offend him. He says, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. You see, there's the purpose, that they might be saved.
Are you saved here today? Are you in Christ today? Have you went through the cloud to see and been baptized and received the faith in Jesus Christ? You know, there's a likeness there of what they did. They went through the cloud in the sea and they were all baptized there and they went to the wilderness and then went into the promised land. Same thing's true for us. When we are baptized, we in this church in the wilderness, headed for the promised land. But we may not make it. We may fall on the way. We'll ask today, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you been baptized today? You know, you have to believe, John 8:24, therefore said unto you, except you believe that I am he, you should die in your sins, and we must repent. Luke 13:3, it says, you may accept your repent, shall all likewise perish. We have to repent of this worldliness that we follow. And we have to confess our faith in Jesus Christ in Romans 10:10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And having done these things, you see, these things are required so that you'd be ready to enter into the body of Christ. And as he said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 22:16, he told Saul, why sayest thou rise and be baptized, washing away thy sins? Call on the name of the Lord. If you can go back to that picture of those people when they crossed the Red Sea, their past was washed away. And that's what happens to us. Our past sins are washed away. And then we come up to walk in newness of life in Romans 6. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. We urge you to do that. If you're here this morning and you've done that, but you realize you've been kind of stumbling, you might be about to fall, or perhaps you've fallen, we give you the opportunity to come this morning. And this is part of the law of Christ. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as being a part of the body of Christ, as being in that body, a member of the kingdom of God, that is blessing that you have. If you're here today and you need to make a confession or ask for the prayers of the church, this is an opportunity for you to do that. If you need to be baptized, this opportunity for you to do that, to let it be known as we stand and sing.